He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you want straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince Amuka Maka 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 Maka.
June 23rd, and we're done with 12 weeks of fantasy baseball, just about to the midway point here of the season. Adam Azer with Scott White and Michael Hurkum as we help you set your lineup and tell you everything you need to know from a busy weekend with call-ups and send-downs, or demotions, I guess they should be called. How's everybody feeling?
Awesome. How are you feeling?
Scott, well, let me get Scott. How are you feeling first?
How am I feeling first? Yeah. Why me first?
Well, because he responded. I thought it'd be your turn now.
Oh, okay. Before the host.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw the end of yesterday.
Oh, you jinxed us, man! You shouldn't have turned it on.
Hey, I was over at my in-laws' house. I wasn't in control of the TV, but I saw it.
What a
what
I
did
witnessed
you see? What
with my
game,
own
man.
Eyes?
Oh,
what a just a very upsetting ending. But you know what? They got the draw. They got the point. We're going to draw. We're gonna tie Germany.
I don't know what any of it means.
Scott, if they hadn't given that goal up, they would have advanced to the second round. If they had won the game, they'd be in the second round by now.
Well, can't they still be in the second round?
Yeah, but now they have to play the best team in their group, one of the best teams in the world, Germany. And even if they lose, they could still advance. But it's going to be tough. They put themselves in a tough spot. I still have a good chance.
I just want to say that, yes, that was a tough loss, but that just goes to show you why Cristiano Ronaldo is the number one player.
Yeah, I know.
With it, number one player in the world. Did you see that pass? I mean, that was a thing of beauty.
Pass.
It was just absolute.
But the other best player in the world, Messi, or one of the other best players in the world, made an unbelievable goal, scored an unbelievable goal and with the stoppage time.
I mean, you know, and Ronaldo had so many chances,
Scott?
Yesterday.
I didn't know what I was watching.
This could have been a soccer pad.
No soccer. No more soccer. That was tough, though.
It was tough.
It was fun. Whatever.
Sure.
Mark Melanz is the new Pittsburgh closer. We'll talk about that. We got John Heyman joining us on Fantasy Baseball Today live at noon Eastern, so make sure you check that out. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Carlos Martinez in the rotation. JD Martinez in fantasy owners' hearts for his wonderful play lately. And on my team, I don't know if you guys...
Oh, I picked them up in at least one league.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple.
I'm sure. A lot of bullpen news, so let's get to it. We'll start with Melanson. Now he's the Pittsburgh closer. You think he keeps this rest of season? What's your gut telling you?
I think he does, and I think he's going to be good at it, and I think you need to pick him up if for some reason he's still available. Potentially a top 15 closer the rest of the way. Just look at what he did last year, what he was doing this year. He had like a 0.75 whip or something when the Pirates finally decided to make this move. I know he had kind of a rough outing yesterday, so might be a little higher now, but yeah, he could be really good.
Kevin Gausman was sent down to AAA, expected to start during a Friday doubleheader against the Rays. So does this mean Gausman is not going to stick in the rotation?
No. Buck Showalter's still trying to figure out, you know, his six-man rotation. I mean, Gausman had options, so that's why he got sent down. I think they're trying to find a way to keep him in the rotation, so they're delaying the decision as long as possible.
San Francisco called up second baseman Joe Panic, and I think I added him in three leagues.
Why? Why did you add him, Adam?
I don't know. Good minor league numbers needed. They were all fairly deep leagues. Middle infield leagues or 16-team league with one second baseman. Where second baseman hole for me.
The Rejects League? Did you add him in the
yes,
Rejects League?
I did. 14-team league.
Is that your deepest league? Are you,
I would
are
say
you in
so.
Any AL or NL only?
No. I'm in a 16-team points league, but it's actually shallower than our 14-team categories league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Why not, Adam? Am I crazy for wanting Joe Panic? He doubled yesterday.
No, you know, he reminds me a little bit of Tommy La Stella with the good contact, but you're not going to get a ton of home run power from this guy or RBI production, in my opinion.
I feel like he has a little bit of pop. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be adding him outside of deeper leagues. Like, I think if Eugenio Suarez is out there, he's a middle infielder to go at after before you go after Panic.
Yeah, he's actually shortstop eligible right now. I forgot to mention that. And only shortstop eligible for the moment, but he will be second base eligible soon.
And he's not even playing every day either.
But I don't think
he is going to play every day.
I thought I was reading that they're saying they're going to mix him into the rotation where they can.
Well, I was under the impression he was going to play every day.
I was too, but I mean
Herc was reading,
updates yesterday.
They've got the worst offensive middle infield in baseball, do they? I mean, off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean they're trying to find a second base replacement, and you know this guy seems like a good choice, especially if he hits. So I mean, it seems like they're going to give him the chance.
You aren't wrong to add him, Adam.
Thank you. you know, CJ Cron.
That's
remember
your boy.
Where we were talking about this, I think Friday. CJ Cron going to get regular playing time, whatever. And I said, eventually the Raul Ibanez experiment will end, and they released him. And Cron has homered in three straight games.
That was a slow clap for Adam, by the way.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I think it's exciting for a guy. Look at his slash line, 286, 310, 586. When he's played, CJ Cron has produced, and he's 24% owned.
Yeah, I think he's a great cheap source of power. I said when he came up that, you know, maybe this he could be. It's obviously a high standard to reach, but maybe he could be their next Mark Trumbo. And the interesting thing I've discovered since then is he makes contact at a much higher rate than Trumbo did, and that was something that from the minors that translated to the majors. So it's possible he could be a higher batting average version of Trumbo, or maybe you shouldn't expect quite the power of Trumbo, but enough power that in roto leagues, I think he does need to be picked up anywhere he's available.
Would you guys rather own Cron or Singleton?
I'd rather own Singleton still.
Yes, Singleton.
Cron or Morales?
Morales?
Yes, Morales.
Ike Davis?
Oh, Cron.
Let's go Cron here.
There you go. Jose Bautista left Sunday's game with leg tightness. He's going to have an MRI today. And Brett Laurie has a broken finger. So he's not on the DL yet, but it certainly looks like, I mean.
Oh, he's going,
He's going.
There. Yeah, so.
Can't play with that broken finger, Adam.
No.
Many have tried.
The Toronto options aren't great. Steve Tolleson and Munenori Kawasaki will be getting more playing time. And Juan Francisco, I'm guessing everyday third baseman now.
That's what they're assuming, so.
Okay. Even against lefties or just.
He's going to get most of the starts, let's put it that way, so.
All right. Well, that stinks. And then we go to the Cardinals rotation.
Oh, this is terrible news.
Michael Wacha, stress reaction in his right shoulder. He's on the DL. Jaime Garcia's got a shoulder issue. He's back on the DL. And Carlos Martinez stays in the rotation. Martinez is 31% owned. He just hasn't been that good this year.
That's, I mean, those are my thoughts too. Like, I think when I was making my ad drops yesterday, they hadn't announced these guys going on the DL yet, and Martinez was going to stay. And so I saw, you know, the daily transaction email come through, and I had picked up Chase Whitley as a SPARP in our regular podcast league, the head-to-head points one.
Right.
And somebody else had picked up Martinez, and for a second I had this moment of regret. But then I was like, you know, I think I want Whitley more anyway.
The guy's got to stretch out. They did him a disservice by just saying, here, you're going into the rotation right now without going to the minors. At least Alex Wood got that. He's, you know, let him stretch out. Let him take his lumps in the minors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he's not pitching as well, but you know the potential's there for this guy.
Oh, sure. I'm not disputing the potential, and this is things readers, you know, when I write something on the site, when I write something negative about Kevin Gausman at the site, people act like I don't understand he's a good pitcher. It's just how relevant is he right now? I'm not sure Martinez, because he's not stretched out yet, and because in his two starts so far, the walk rate has been really high. I'm not sure he's ready to be relevant yet. That doesn't mean you can't pick him up if you have the space for it. I'd just rather have Chase Whitley. He's highly available.
That wasn't getting mad at you, Scott. Mad at the Cardinals for treating him the way they're treating him. So.
Whitley is a guy I didn't pick up, but now that Toronto start tonight, I think he's starting, maybe tomorrow. It doesn't look quite as daunting with Laurie out and with Bautista. I don't know what's going to happen with Bautista, but when you see a guy walk off like that, I just feel like he's not going to play today.
Well, they don't know where the injury's at. He needs the MRI. It could be his hamstring. So if it's his hamstring, that's pretty bad.
Right. So it doesn't look quite as daunting. Plus, the Blue Jays haven't been hitting as well lately. All right, what else stood out to you guys over the weekend?
Scott, you went first last week. Can I go first this week?
Go first. I got to collect my thoughts here.
All right, so I got a few guys. The first is, I know these people are just going to yell at me for these two, but Clay Buchholz, I want to start talking about. He's been good on his rehab assignment, and he was talking to the media yesterday, and he says, look, I know what I did wrong at the beginning of the season. I was relying too much on my fastball and my cutter. He says, I'm going to go back to my changeup. I'm going to go back to mixing it up more. He's talking like a confident pitcher. If you lost to Jaime Garcia, if you lost to Michael Wacha, I know there's other guys, maybe there's a lot more other guys you'd rather take a flyer on right now, but maybe just, you know, what Clay Buchholz did last year, he's starting to talk like that pitcher again. Here's a guy that maybe could help you replace one of those two.
How would you rather have Carlos Martinez or Clay Buchholz?
I think I'm going to go Clay Buchholz here.
Scott?
I'm going to go Buchholz also, unless it's a SPARP situation.
All right.
My second guy, Travis d'Arnaud. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen what he's done since he's been...
I don't know who that is.
Isn't it?
No, it's d'Arno.
Ah, I came close, though.
You're a Mets fan. You got to know the Mets guys.
Sorry, Herc. I couldn't let that one go.
d'Arno, whatever. I'm not French, so... So, you know, Terry Collins was talking about him being a spark to the lineup. A guy that was hitting, what, 188 before he went to the minors? And he's been, you know, again, it's the PCL, so you take it with a little grain of salt. Mm. But he gets daily reports from the managers down there, and they must be telling him something like, look, this kid's figured it out. You know, they basically sent him down for a confidence issue, you know, problem, and his confidence has been sky high. So I went and did this in a 16-team league. I dropped Mike Zunino, who did homer twice over the weekend, for Mr. d'Arnaud.
Yeah,
there
nice.
You go. And because he's coming up this week. He's supposed to be coming up in the two-game series against the A's. So maybe he finally figured out, you know, his stroke that made him such a good prospect in the minors. And one last one, Scott, before I go. And I saw this in Adam's note, and I'm glad. Bad Miller.
Bad
Would you like to read
Miller.
Your Bad Miller note, Adam?
Sure. Homered off Greg Holland Friday. Six hits over the weekend. Seven-game hitting streak for Brad Miller. I'll give him the R. Three walks, three strikeouts in those seven games.
That's He's earned right. the R back?
Yes, he has.
He's earned right it now. Back? He just had his best week in points leagues.
Yeah,
even better than that first week.
Well, you know what he's doing in the entire month of June?
What was he doing?
Got a 323 average, 375 OBP, 508 slugging, and 883 OPS. So I went and did a little research, and they talked about him over the weekend. By the way, his BABIP is up to 383 this month after just being very low the first 2 months. What Lloyd McClendon was saying is that, listen, he's a young kid. People want them to hit the way they hit in the minors right away. He didn't. He struggled. We stuck with him. He says now what he's doing, he's becoming a more patient hitter. He's starting to see more pitches. And he says that's what's fueling his turnaround. He said, and he basically said, this is the kid we saw in the minors. So if that kid's coming around, here's another guy that's a cheap source off waivers.
Would you pick him up? Or
I did pick him up.
Eugenio Suarez.
I'm good. I move. See, you, I think, were the most patient about keeping Brad Miller high in your rankings. I lost a little more patience. I moved him down. I moved him below Suarez last week.
Yeah.
I think I may move him back above Suarez this week.
I think have him. I have him behind Suarez, I know. I think I had him like 23rd at shortstop.
Okay, so.
And it's going to be tough. Like, would you take him over Eric Ibar?
Well, Ibar
made that decision last night.
I put in
two claims. Yeah. I dropped Solarte, and I put in my first claim was for Ibar. My second claim was for Miller. I got Ibar. But I struggled with that one. I want to see a little bit more from Brad
Miller.
Yeah,
and I don't blame that right now because Ibar's been so good. He's the one that's just been surprising everyone as well.
Yeah.
And I have Ibar above Miller in my rankings right now as well. But, I mean, hey, we had Brad Miller in our top 10 for a while. I mean, if he's starting to look like that guy again, this is get him now if you can afford the roster spot.
All right, now that I had a chance to stall and think it through, I think I know my
– Go ahead.
I think I would take – If it was a shallow enough league that there's this class of shortstops that are all basically like unspectacular types that are usable
sure
in mixed leagues, and it includes Ibar in my mind, Asdrubal Cabrera, Alcides Escobar. You might throw
Solarte was in there.
Solarte was in there. Everett Cabrera is in there. If one or two of those is on waivers already anyway, you might as well go for the upside guy and Brad Miller, because then you know you can fall back on one of them if you have to.
Yeah.
That would be my approach.
Right.
Do you want to Want to hear my weekend observations
yes.
here, Adam?
Go for it, Scott.
Yeah, so Herc mentioned picking up potentially Buchholz. I think somebody who is still available in a decent number of leagues that I go after first is Jake Odorizzi, mm-hmm. who had a dominant, right? Couldn't describe it as any less than that, dominant start this weekend. 7-plus innings. Do you have the exact number?
7 1/3, one hit, no runs, 2 walks, 10 Ks against the Astros.
Double-digit Ks. Now, he's on the year, he's at 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. In his last 9 starts, 11.7 strikeouts per 9 innings to go along with a 2.88 ERA and a 1 even whip.
Yeah, he's good, and he's killing it at home. He's had a lot of home starts lately. He's 1-4 with a 7.16 ERA on the road. So this good stretch could be coinciding with his home starts. But it's not like that's such a pitcher's park or anything like that.
Oh, it's a good pitcher's park. It is. But I'm going to point out also that even though, obviously, the last 9 starts have been great, overall numbers still not so good, ERA above 4. But his FIP, which measures what ERA should be based on the aspects a pitcher controls himself, 3.15 is his FIP. So I think he could have a huge second half here. Needs to be owned pretty much across the board. I would also say that this weekend, Corey Dickerson showed me once and for all, needs to be owned every single league. Kind of like Charlie Blackmon, can't worry about the platoon situation. He's just too productive when he's in the lineup. Because I had him at a sit this week at outfield this past week. He was my sit, remember? Because of that first series against the Dodgers where they were going against Ryu, Greinke, and Kershaw. I was worried he'd sit the two lefties and struggle in the other game. And that's exactly what happened. But he made up for it. And then some with his performance the second series against the Brewers where he had like... He homered. I know he had back-to-back 3-4-hit games and home runs in each of them.
Yeah, he had a huge weekend.
Yeah,
he tripled yesterday.
Whenever he starts, it's just he does great things that I mean, you just have to go with
it. And
him
he's 288, 354, 575 on the road. So I mean, at home he's slugging. He's got an OPS of like 1200.
Yeah.
But on the road he's got an OPS of around 930.
Right.
So it's not like he's just a home road guy.
Right, and the minor league track record, he was a dominant player throughout that. I mean, I know you can't rely on that all the time, but based on the way he started his major league career here as a regular player, and what he did last year, frankly, when he was up in the big leagues.
You know, I think he did play against those lefties against the Dodgers. I know he played against Kershaw. Of course, he went 0-4. That was a no-hitter.
Did he? I'm sorry.
He definitely played against Kershaw, maybe Blackmon not Ryu. Did. I think, you know what, I think he played against Kershaw, he sat against Ryu, and Blackmon the opposite.
Okay.
So he got one of those lefties. All right, so you like Corey Dickerson.
Yep.
Hey, do you like Jake Odorizzi or Drew Hutchison?
I like Odorizzi now.
Do you like Ruby De La Rosa or Jake Odorizzi?
I'd like Ruby De La Rosa if I was sure he was sticking around.
Yeah, that's a problem.
3 out of 5, 7-plus innings, and just dominant numbers in those starts.
How you guys feel about Jared Cozart? 30% owned. His pitch last 4 starts all been quality starts. He's pitching pretty well. Gave up just 6 hits, no runs, and 8 innings at the Rays, but only 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about all these guys that were top prospects in the minors and then don't come up and they fall off the map. And I mean, here's another one of those guys that didn't exactly pitch like he did in the minors right away. And maybe he just finally figured it out. He settled down, and he's coming into his own in the majors.
Are you guys excited at all about Matt Shoemaker of the Angels, who's had 2 really good ones in a row?
And look at his strikeout-to-walk ratio. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
1-5. Five to one.
I was actually looking at his numbers last night. I'm like, where is this guy? Why don't we talk about this guy now?
Well, he's only made 2 starts where he's pitched deep into games. I think he's only made 3 starts of 6 innings or more. A lot of 5-inning kind of stuff, like Chase Whitley. But now, Shoemaker, last 2 starts, we're looking at 15 2/3. Let's do some quick math. 15 2/3, 13 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 16 Ks against the Rangers at home and at the Indians. What do you guys think?
You know, I was not even – he wasn't even on my radar, really, because I feel like his minor league track record was so unimpressive that – he was honestly in the rotation because they couldn't do any better with Hector Santiago so bad. But if that's the way his last two starts have gone, and on the year he has that good of a strikeout-to-walk ratio, I'm not rushing to pick him up over some of these other types, but maybe he does need to be on my radar.
Henderson Alvarez is still 70% owned. Last six starts, Alvarez is 2-0 with a .68 ERA. Is he a must-own?
How many of those have been on the road?
At Washington, home against the Rays, at the Cubs, home against Pittsburgh, home against the Mets. That's only five starts that I have there. And one against Philadelphia. So two of those have been on the road.
Right. I mean, here again, there's a guy that he's the best Marlins pitcher in Marlins Park. He does his best work at home. Like to see a little more consistency on the road. Scott talks about him being a pitch-to-contact guy, and if you don't miss a lot of bats, it gets worrisome at times. Right, Scott?
It does. That's been that's what made me fearful of both Alvarez and Kyle Gibson. But I'm thinking to the point with both, and Alvarez especially, where I kind of just have to get over that because they've been too good.
Well, this is, to me, is a huge week for Kyle Gibson because he's been really good in his last two road starts. He's got two more road starts, and road has been his problem. He's got two more road starts this week, but they're against very good opponents. So if he makes it out of this week without getting crushed, I'm going to start buying a lot more into Kyle Gibson as well.
And Alvarez has been a ground ball guy throughout his career, right? I mean,
yeah, oh yeah, that's ground ball specialist.
Yeah, and this year's no different. In fact, this year his BABIP is a lot higher than in previous years. His BABIP is .326. Last year, .271. 2012, .292. So maybe he's actually been a little unlucky on balls in play, Henderson Alvarez. And I don't know if his changeup has improved. I haven't read anything about it, but he's got a good changeup. Maybe he's just a better pitcher at this point. And what'd you guys think of Justin Verlander? 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts at Cleveland.
Apparently, he put a ton of work into his bullpen sessions in between his previous start and this one.
Right.
Mechanical change, and not just one mechanical change, he said, but he changed a bunch of things. I forget how he worded it exactly.
Said he was going more towards home plate. His body was moving forward more rather than lateral. Whatever.
All right. Yeah. So, look, I mean, we've been saying it. His stuff is still good. I know going into the start, he had the 14th hardest fastball of any starting pitcher. He should be able to pitch well with that. So especially since the control issues coincided with everything else, that there was something wrong mechanically. And while one start, I think Brad Ausmus even pointed this out, mechanical changes, you know, it doesn't take effect overnight necessarily. We still need to see if he can maintain this. Now might not be the right time to sell on him, or it might be the right time
to
sell
on
him. That's what I was kind of thinking through
in
the moment.
Can you take this one start here and trade Justin Verlander? Would you do that? He's been our most traded player on the website.
I wouldn't. Sounds like he's figured it out.
You're buying it.
Yes.
You know, this is why I hate labeling anybody buy low or sell high, because it honestly just depends on what you can get.
All right,
you know?
Well, then let's see what you can get. Last week, I traded Dallas Keuchel for Justin Verlander. Would you rather have Keuchel or Verlander?
Verlander.
Yeah, I'm going to say Verlander.
How about...
What about Verlander for David Wright, who's another guy that had coming off... He's a 7-game hit streak, really hot. If you don't trust him, which if somebody offered, give me Verlander, I'll give you Wright, would you do that deal?
Well, I do trust Wright, so I think I would do that deal, especially if I needed a third baseman.
See, I'm not so sure, so I think I would be that guy who would want Verlander.
Jordan Zimmerman.
Yeah, I'll take Zimmerman. I'll give up Verlander to get Zimmerman.
Have you seen what Zimmerman's done lately? I'm going with Zimmerman, too.
Wow. I'm having a tough time thinking here. Last week it was Michael Wacha, so I don't want to jinx anyone.
Yeah, we're not doing that again.
Who's in that? What about Matt Latos?
There you go. Matt Latos.
Nah, I'll stick with Verlander.
All right. How about you, Herc?
Yeah, I think I'll go with Verlander there, too.
Let's look at what's been going on in the bullpen lately. Friday was insane. The amount of elite closers who stunk on Friday.
All of them. Yeah. Every single one.
Except Uehara, who didn't pitch.
Oh, okay.
But then he gave up two home runs Sunday just to just to
make up
you know,
for it.
Yeah, exactly. Kimbrel blew a save on Friday. Holland. Zach Britton gave up four runs and a walk-off homer. Glenn
Not
Perkins. No, but he's been.
He's been very good.
Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman, Cody Allen. Oh, no, Cody Allen was Saturday where he struggled. But anyway, more importantly, what's going on with Neil Ramirez? Pitched the seventh on Friday, and Hector Rondon got a save, and then Ramirez pitched the eighth on Sunday.
It's over. It's over, Adam.
You think so?
Neil Ramirez. Can let him go.
I dropped him in a couple leagues, but only because I didn't need a closer there.
Haven't you guys noticed the trend lately has been managers following the Joe Maddon principle of not giving guys roles? I mean, Mike Socha doesn't seem to want to name Fieri or Joe Smith as full-time closer.
See, that one's interesting, Herc, because Joe Smith, I kept wondering why he wasn't pitching, and then later found out he had a neck injury.
No, but...
but this would have been a great weekend for him. They could have used him.
Well, as Socha said earlier in the season, he says, I don't want him to be my closer. I need him in all these other 15 roles I got to figure him out for.
Yeah,
so,
before
you know.
Fieri kept bombing.
I don't want to say Neil Ramirez is done. It's not like he's pitching poorly.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I think, you know, Rick Renteria is following this trend of I'm going to use guys when I need them. And if Ramirez is good against these three batters, I'm going to throw him in the seventh if I need to.
But that's entirely speculation. We have no reason to think... Other than the fact that people in like John Heyman was willing to speculate, we have no reason to think that Hector Rondon ever lost the closer role to begin with. It was kind of like that Joe Smith situation. Yeah. He stopped pitching for a long time, and we're like, what's up? And then we find out he has this elbow issue, and so we're like, oh, okay, but maybe Ramirez has been so good in his absence that he won't get it back. He pitched the seventh inning the other day, and Rondon closed it with a perfect ninth, two strikeouts, looked great. So Neil Ramirez isn't done, but he's as done as any other setup man is.
Well, yeah, I know, but at this point, it's about speculating who's going to be next. And Ramirez has been so good, and Jake McGee has been so good, and even as we recently discovered, really good against right-handed pitchers, hitters.
It's almost like the Zach Britton, Cody Allen situation where we thought these guys were going to go back and they never did.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we have to try to find the next one. Joe Nathan blew a save on Friday. Or no, sorry. Got a save Friday, blew it on Saturday. Good thing is with Nathan, though, he struck out seven batters in his last three innings. Belisario struggled. He gave up a game-winning hit. He gave up a game-winning hit to Brian Dozier. Daniel Webb put two runners on with walks in that game. That was Friday. And then in Tampa Bay, it's just like every pitcher gets a turn.
Yeah,
yesterday it was Joel Peralta. That is truly a committee.
Right, but the Cubs situation isn't like that. It's Rondon. He never lost the job. That's what I'm saying.
But
it's different.
I thought Ramirez got a save when Rondon was available. Did that not happen?
Well, it was because he says he's available, but I'd like to stay away from him a few more days. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that. There was that going on. And even before this Rondon save, I think Strope got a save.
Yes, I think so.
So I'm just saying, I mean, it was 100% for sure Rondon was the closer before he suffered this elbow thing. And then this happens Friday. I mean, they're not doing a whole lot of talking about their bullpen situation, which isn't helping matters, but I feel like it's safe to conclude Rondon is still the closer.
Okay. All right.
This closer situation is making me never want to chase saves ever again going into drafts next year. I mean,
it's annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a guy that's out there that you would want to own that you think might not be, like, who's the most likely guy to become the next closer of any team?
Oh, man. I have Brad Ziegler on one or two leagues just for the fact that I like Addison Reed. I mean, I don't think Kirk Gibson's going to give him the hook, but his ERA, his whip's high, and Ziegler's been really good.
You guys worried about Sergio Romo?
Not really.
Got two saves over the weekend, but they weren't pretty.
And to me, he's like almost like Koji Uehara, that like his ERA and his whip were so low at one point it just had to rise, and a few bad outings may have done that, so...
Okay, injuries, news, and notes, part one. Alex Wood will start Wednesday at Houston. Start or sit?
I am starting him as a reliever, maybe not as a starter.
Chase Headley has a herniated disc in his lower back. He had an epidural, could play.
I saw you finally gave up on him in the 16-team league.
He's just been
no
so
comment.
Bad. He's been a bum. What can I say?
Now he's hurt again.
Theo Epstein says Chris Bryant probably won't play for the Cubs this year.
Ugh. 3 home runs in 4 games since his promotion to AAA.
Wow.
He had 2 yesterday. Wow. I mean, come on, Theo.
Noriichika Aoki on the DL with a left groin strain. Gerard Dyson should get more playing time. Carlos Gonzalez says his finger's feeling good. Albert Pujols dealing with a back injury, but he was able to start Sunday. Astros prospect Carlos Correa hurt his ankle. Pretty bad, apparently. So that stinks.
Yep.
The Rockies called up Christian Friedrich. They demoted Kyle Parker. And then Friedrich had a decent start against Milwaukee. 4 runs in 6 innings. Anyone interested?
No.
Just explain that move to me. Why bring Kyle Parker up for 4 or 5 games just to send him back down?
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. That's Garin Cecchini style right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, for real.
Bruce Chen's on the 60-day DL now instead of the 15-day DL. It doesn't really change anything because he's been out for about 2 months. But it looks like he'll be a bullpen pitcher with the way Duffy's been going. The Padres fired their GM, Josh Burns. I don't know why they haven't fired their hitting coach. Michael Morse left Saturday's game with a back injury, did not play Sunday. Any word there?
I was reading Bruce Bochy said he's hopeful that he'll be ready today, but he may need another day or two.
Brandon Phillips left Sunday's game with a bruised heel. Any word on these guys? Alcides Escobar day-to-day with a left shin contusion?
Yeah, I would consider Escobar's injury minor. He got hit by a pitch, so the x-rays were negative. Phillips didn't say much besides he just left with a bruised heel.
He fouled the ball off his foot.
Yeah, so maybe he's like Escobar. It's just maybe a day or two.
Sonny Gray having his Tuesday start pushed back to Saturday as a precaution, getting extra rest. Milwaukee might move away from their second base platoon and let Scooter Gennett bat against lefties.
Which I find odd because it's going so well, that yeah. platoon. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I embellished that update a little bit, but the quote was from Renicky that he's like, he's been so good as the leadoff hitter. He didn't say, I'm benching Ricky Weeks. He said, I may have to start giving him some at bats against lefties because he can't hit lefties. He said,
I wasn't
so.
Knocking the update writer.
No, I was just, you're
editorializing in there. Is that what you're?
No.
Is an admission?
See, I want
were
people
you feeling guilty
see,
last night when you.
I wanted Adam to put in the notes because that's what gets people to read it. But no, he did mention that he wants. He says I do need to start getting them starts against lefties.
You worried about your stats, your readership numbers? All right, Angel Pagan's on the DL with a back injury. Starling Marte missed Saturday and Sunday for personal reasons, but he should be back today. Mark Teixeira was hit by a pitch on his toe. X-rays were negative, and he thinks he can play tonight at the Blue Jays. Ryan Braun hurt his ankle Sunday. He may not play today, but Milwaukee says it's not serious. Shane Victorino may be back during the weekend series at the Yankees. Wilson Ramos could return Thursday. Derek Norris was hit in the head with a backswing. He passed all his concussion tests, but he's a sit anyway because they're in NL Parks for 5 games.
Correct.
Hey, would you rather have a 2-start Chase Whitley or Sean Doolittle this week? 5
Doolittle.
Game Doolittle.
Thank you for the reminder. As you were just saying, the Athletics play 5 games. Because it's 5 games, yeah, I'll lean toward Whitley with the 2 starts.
What about you, Herc?
I could see that, but I don't know. Who's he facing? Isn't he facing, like, again, Whitley's almost like Josh Tomlin to me, where they were playing pitching well. Tomlin had
Whitley's
two.
Got the Blue Jays on the road and the Red Sox at home.
Oh, man. Blue Jays on the road? I mean, that 1 start may get a negative
like
point.
But again, like I
said,
no Bautista probably, I'm thinking. No
yeah.
Lurie.
Yeah.
And just for the record, we're talking about strictly points.
Right,
leagues,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Sparp doesn't matter. Yeah.
But I benched Doolittle in one of my roto leagues just
really?
To get a 2-start pitcher in there.
It's
a league where I'm not really doing that well, and I'm going to take a shot. I don't remember who the 2-start pitcher. I think it's a 2-start Stroman.
I mean, unless I had saved overkill, I would never bench Doolittle.
I'm second in saves. And I'm not even close to number 3. I'm like 13 saves ahead of the 3rd guy. So, what am I going to give up? At most, 2 saves this week?
Yeah, but Doolittle's one of those closers.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Great whip. 1 walk, 50 strikeouts this year.
One walk, 50
strikeouts for Sean Doolittle.
There you go. That's...
I mean, I could see it, obviously, but I don't know. I'd probably stick with Doolittle myself.
All right, and Adam Lynn has been unable to start because of a foot injury. Also, maybe because Toronto's been in an NL park, but he has been able to pinch hit, so that's good. 2-start pitcher changes. Andrew Cashner scratched from his Monday start. They're being cautious with him, so he's a 1-star pitcher at best, but he looks a little risky this week.
My favorite pitcher's coming to the majors.
Oh, give it a shot, Herc. You can't look at the pronunciation.
Oder Rizmay. Despinaje.
Odorizzi Despinaje. That's perfect. Odrisimer Despinaje is going to start today for Cash.
I wrote about him a few weeks ago, and in the column I said I could sit here and look at the phonetic spelling all day, and I still mess it up. So there we go.
He's got just very unimpressive minor league numbers.
Well, his thing is that the scouts don't know if he's going to be a starter or a reliever, but they love his deceptive delivery. That's why they feel he could be a starter. But he walks so many guys. He got hit a lot in AAA. So I don't understand why they're bringing him up right now.
Well, they're going to move back Cashner, and Jesse Hahn or Despinaje could start twice if Cashner needs a DL stint. Justin Masterson is a two-star pitcher. The Indians right now are going with a four-man rotation. C.J. Wilson gets two, and Matt Shoemaker gets one. And Hector Santiago goes to the bullpen, and Al writes, sorry, Adam, in his note.
Oh, I was going to say, did you write sorry, Adam, to yourself?
No, and Tyler Skaggs will likely return this weekend. Let's look at the most added and most dropped players in our leagues. And J.D. Martinez is number one. He has a 12-game hitting streak, 44 at-bats. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's Aramis Ramirez. But J.D. Martinez does have a 12-game hitting streak in which he's batting .447. These two have very similar streaks going on, by the way, Aramis and J.D. J.D., 447, four homers, 11 RBI, five doubles, and is going to remain in the lineup as Torii Hunter returns.
You know what's funny is you call them Aramis and J.D. instead of Ramirez and Martinez.
Oh, wow, because that's the way. God, I'm an idiot.
No, I'm just saying.
We know
if
who
you called them
though,
Ramirez
yeah.
and Martinez, people would be more confused than Aramis and J.D. There's only one Aramis and J.D. right now.
Yeah, that's true.
He was chipped up by the Padres pitcher, so he's like, I can't do this anymore. No more last names.
Well, particularly your pronunciation.
Yeah.
All right, J.D. Martinez, let's talk about him. Now, Scott, you mentioned how he's so bad against lefties, and it's kind of weird because he's a righty. But also, in his career, this is his fourth season. And he hasn't always been bad against lefties. A couple seasons where he's been better against lefties. Last two seasons, including this one, worse against lefties. But whatever.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, the other half of the equation is Rajay Davis has always been very good against lefties. But I don't know. Honestly, that report, I think you may have written the update, Herc.
No, it was Chris, but I know which report
okay.
you're talking about.
Yeah, on Friday, after the podcast, but before the show. So it got mentioned on the show. That J.D. Martinez completely remade his swing in the offseason. He said if you looked at tape of him before and looked at tape of him now, it wouldn't look like the same player. That's how much it's changed. And obviously, he's getting the results now at the big leagues that he never got before, even though his minor league track record is insane. So you just put all those piece parts together. He's producing like he did in the minors finally after making extensive changes this offseason. That kind of makes me feel like at age 26, this could be yeah. something legitimate. It could be something that leads to a full-time role, regardless of how good Rajay Davis is against lefties. And
I agree with everything you say, Scott, and I'm going to put a little cherry on top.
Okay,
he's hitting fifth. Who's he hitting fifth behind, Scott?
Behind V-Mart and Miguel Cabrera.
So what's he going to see steady? He's going to see a lot of fastballs. And I was watching Josh Tomlin do this yesterday where he was dancing around Cabrera and Martinez, and he was going Victor Martinez, and he was going after J.D. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what everybody is going to do, even though Martinez is hitting this well. I mean, out of those three guys, who would you rather face?
Well, let's talk about who you would drop to pick up J.D. Martinez.
Okay.
Yeah, Oswaldo Arcia, the hands, no question.
Yes.
He's like 0 for 30.
Yes.
I didn't have to in the league where I own him, but I would if I had to. It's worth it. See, the thing about J.D. Martinez is, you know how I just came around on Corey Dickerson? He was only available in one of my leagues now. I mean, I was almost too late to get him anywhere. And I don't want the same thing to happen with J.D. Martinez. I want to get ahead of this one.
Yes.
Would you rather have Colby Rasmus, who's been really, really good since coming off the DL? 8 for 20 with a home run, 4 RBI, and 2 doubles, despite 1 walk to 7 strikeouts. Or J.D. Martinez?
This is a really good one for me because I'm starting to come around on Colby Rasmus. I was always just like, oh, this is a hot streak. But even before he got hurt, he was hitting really well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
he's doing it again. So why not both of them? I mean, if I had to choose one or the other, I think I'm going with J.D. Martinez just for the fact he hits fifth. In the Tigers lineup, and there's going to be opportunities there for him, but it's close.
Would you drop Desmond Jennings for J.D. Martinez?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do it.
I don't know that I could do that.
Was it talking with you last week when you talk about Brett Gardner? I was doing my rankings. I moved Desmond Jennings outside my top 50. I'm pretty sure
he might be out of my top 50 too. But yeah. Still, I mean, JD Martinez isn't going to be in my top 50.
He's progressing that way.
Marcell Ozuna or JD Martinez.
In Roto, I don't think you can drop Ozuna in Roto. The power production has just been too good. And that's power's hard to find.
You don't think Martinez will hit for more power than Marcell Ozuna?
I don't think.
I'm going to say yes, Scott, because we did in the minors this year before he came up.
Yeah, but I mean, you're obviously counting on him keeping the job, playing every day.
He is.
Neither of which is guaranteed. Yes. But
the one thing you say is he's not hitting lefties, so he's hitting the righties. He's going to hit lefties eventually,
right? I know, but Ozuna's on pace for more than 30 home runs. I mean, how do you drop a guy who's...
Yeah.
I can understand in head-to-head because... You know,
but
he
he's talking
no
about from this point on, right? I mean, right now you have to assess from this point on. Right,
I know, but yeah. Look, I want Martinez, but yeah. I just don't think... I think Ozuna's undroppable in Roto right now. There's just been too much power from him.
All right, well, that should give you guys a good idea of where JD Martinez is. So we'll move on to the rest of the most added list. Jake Arrieta, 70% owned. Kyle Gibson, two-start Kyle Gibson is 51% owned. Still, I'm surprised that number is so low. Gibson or Odorizzi rest of season?
Odorizzi.
Yep.
Gibson or Skaggs rest of season?
Gibson.
I'm going to wait for this week. I'm going to hold off to next week.
Mark Melancon, number four on the most added list, 64% owned. Jeff Locke, fifth. Scooter Jeanette, six. Chase Whitley, seven. Alex Wood, eight, up to 81% owned. Andrew Heaney, nine. Jesse Hahn, 10. Shoemaker, 11. And Guthrie, 12.
I picked up Jeremy Guthrie this week for a two-start week.
He
struck out 18 batters his last two starts. I know the Royals have lost three straight, I think, or is it four straight now? They're starting to cool off after the long hot streak.
But you know, but he's not a strikeout guy.
No, but for a two-start week, I'm like in a league where I lost Jaime Garcia, so I had the spot open. So I was like, you know what? Let me try it and see while he's on a hot streak, like the Jake Arrieta thing last week. Let's just roll with while he's pitching well.
Yeah, Adam fell for that last year.
No,
Guthrie.
I got a lot of great production out of Jeremy Guthrie.
There you go.
For a while, he was like a top 20 pitcher.
I don't have. To, I'm not married to him.
Cut
I could
his
just
butt
drop
when
him.
He wasn't.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. So,
fair enough.
All right. Anything else to highlight here? And you know what? We go one down at Josh Harrison. So Josh Harrison, 43%. Neil Walker, his return is coming. So
he's
what's going to happen? Harrison's been hitting really well. What's going to happen here with this guy?
I think based on what Mr. I can't remember his name. What's the Pirates manager's name?
Oh, Clint Hurdle.
Clint Hurdle. All right, yeah. Based on what Clint Hurdle said last week, I think we see now I'm forgetting the player's name. Harrison. Josh Harrison. We see a lot of Harrison at shortstop.
We're fading here on the Monday podcast.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well,
that'd be great.
The next guy on the list, Bartolo Colon, in our 12th team head-to-head league, he wasn't owned, and I picked him up. Look at what he's done in five straight weeks with 20-plus fantasy points.
Three bad starts all year at the Angels, at the Yankees, at the Rockies. Or one of them might have been home. No, I
know. But when you catch him during one of those bad starts, you'll regret ever owning him.
It's a two-start week for him. Yeah, it's Oakland at home, and then I think it's at Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So, you know, Oakland's such a good hitting team. They hit for so much power, but the venue's good.
What about, do they know him, or does he know them better? Because he was with them last year, so.
Well, I like the catchers going up against Bartolo.
Okay, there you go.
Danny Duffy, Billy Butler, Drew Smiley, Corey Dickerson, Steve Pierce. Deep leagues, you guys like him? Any interest? You know, I got to be honest with you, Herc. I sent an email last night. Usually when me, Herc, and Nando are in a league, you know, we're in that league together, the only time we send emails is when we want to pick someone up. Should we pick this guy up? Blah, blah, blah. I sent an email last night. I think our lineup's good. We don't need to do anything. Because I just had a feeling that Nando was going to drop, like, CJ Krohn for Steve Pierce. Because he loves Steve Pierce.
He loves Steve Pierce, yeah.
And I thought he would do it without telling me and then laugh at me the next day.
Be like, Adam.
But he is hitting really well, for what it's worth.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think in the 14-team league, I did put in a claim for him. I don't know if I won him. I'm going to guess I didn't win him. Somebody else did. I was dropping Ubaldo for him. Exactly. Ubaldo.
You know, we had an illegal lineup all week, and somebody won 10-0. That really grinds my gears. Come on now.
Wait, you didn't fix it?
I didn't know about it. Steve Pierce was won for $5 by not you.
You went the PG route. When you learned last week we have a bleep button. So you could just...
I learned that a while ago.
Adam, I got to tell you, any league I'm commissioner of, which is a bunch, anytime I see somebody with an illegal lineup, I fix it.
Well,
they
usually tell me. Why wouldn't they tell me?
If there's ever the person you're playing?
No. No, the person who has the illegal lineup would be like, hey, what's going on with my lineup? And it was too many injured guys, too many guys on the DL or something like that.
You had an illegal lineup, though.
I didn't have it.
Somebody else
in the league had it.
Oh.
They usually alert me to it.
Oh, somebody you were playing? Or?
No, I wasn't playing. It was just a different matchup. This is, got it?
Okay, I got it now.
Usually if there's a player.
They usually alert you.
Yeah, they usually alert you. What happened here? Come on.
Yeah.
Maybe guys on vacation.
No, nobody deserves a free win like that.
10-0.
I mean,
that's huge.
Here's what I've done. I've started to do. If somebody has an illegal lineup and there's not like a one guy on their bench that you can put in their lineup or too many players on the DL or an easy fix like that, then you just do a write-in player, a placeholder, somebody who's going to give them absolutely nothing during the week, so that they don't, you know, get some kind of advantage by setting their lineup late or whatever.
Right.
And then just put them in the lineup so that the lineup's legal.
Yeah.
And let the matchup play out.
Yeah, I don't know what happened here. Well, that was very disappointing. Anyway, anything else on the most added or most drop list? We are running out of time.
Rapidly running out of time. And I will add that Corey Dickerson's only 76% owned still. Get that up to 90.
Are you really going to
add
him
to 90?
In three outfielder leagues?
Yes, I am.
Would you rather have Rasmus or Dickerson?
Dickerson.
You?
I'm going to go Rasmus here.
All right. Josh Willingham now on the most drop list. How fickle we are.
Yeah, it's too fickle. You don't him too.
Ryan Vogelsong.
I want to own like 80 outfielders,
Vogelsong's on the most drop list too.
Hey, he got to win the other day.
I dropped him in like two leagues. It's kind of a shame.
He got to win the other day.
But he didn't pitch well.
Ugly win.
I dropped him for Carlos Martinez in a league where I have to try to hit a home run. You know.
Yeah, I'm probably moving him out of my top 80 at starting pitcher. Behind Kyle Gibson, behind Jake Odorizzi.
I don't intend to move him. I think this is just a little cold spell for Ryan Vogelsong, and he's going to turn around again.
He's got an ERA over 4 now. Non-strikeout
good.
Pitcher.
Good. Then he's got room to bring it down. There we go.
Tommy La Stella has been batting leadoff for the Braves, but 3 for his last 30.
Yeah.
No one's going to do the Stella?
Take that. Angry commenters on Braves pages.
they face good pitching over the weekend, though.
That's what I do with Freddy Gonzalez. Because, like, all the fans were, like, clamoring for it, and he finally gave in. I mean, I don't know that he was really listening, but from their perspective, he gave in. And look what happens. Tommy La Stella stinks. So who knows how to run the team?
Yeah.
Not the fans.
All right, let's...
Fired up Scott.
Cherry pick a few things here. James Shields...
Terrible.
Yeah, it's getting a little alarming, maybe.
Scott, I benched him in the Dynasty League this week. I do have a lot of pitchers, but I went with the two-start De La Rosa over one-start Shields.
Last 10 starts, opponents are batting .318 against Shields. 10 starts, 84 hits in 64 and two-thirds, .473 ERA. It doesn't look that bad because he's getting wins. He's 5-1 with a .473 ERA in those 10 starts. 10 home runs allowed, too. James Shields, his whip over the last four seasons has gone from 1.04, which is amazing, 1.17, still really good, 1.24, I guess you're not going to complain, 1.299 right now. What are we seeing here from James Shields?
Now, I'm willing to say that's just a cold stretch.
Okay? Yeah.
Unlike Vogelsong.
He chews up innings. That's what you love him for.
Yeah.
Especially in points leagues. So.
And what are his hits per nine? I mean, you don't have it written down, but... I would imagine his hits per nine have always been on the high side
overall.
For a pitcher of his caliber. Kind of like Cliff Lee. His hits have always been per nine have always been kind of high too.
My thing is, though, like you say this is a cold spell, but if you're willing to bench Verlander during his cold spell, then you got to be willing to bench Shields during his cold spell.
Yeah, but it's different. Verlander was, like, crushing you. Shields is still, it's not what you like.
But no, but if you like... if you have a favorable matchup or a two-star guy, consider it in deeper formats.
Which De La Rosa did you start over?
Jorge.
Oh, come on.
Dude, you're insane.
He's got, like, a 5 ERA.
Two starts this week against the one-start Shields. You got this is how you win championships. You roll the dice.
With exactly. James Shields hit per nine since he had that really bad year with the Rays when it was 10.9. It's 7.0.
That's low.
8.2, 8.5. This year it's 9.7.
Okay. Yeah. Less than
but his walk rate's down.
Less than 8 is to be expected for a pitcher of his caliber.
Yeah.
Over 8, I would say, is on the high side.
Let's read some emails here and get the hell out of here. sorry. Let's get to it. So, just a few more notes.
Yes.
J.J. Putz was DFA'd. Zach McAllister sent down to AAA. Tony Cingrani sent down to AAA. Vidal Nuno's going to stay in the Yankees rotation for now.
You like that move.
Rafael Furcal likely headed back to the DL with calf and hamstring strains. Colton Wong's on the DL with shoulder soreness. Mark Ellis is going to get more at-bats. Bud Norris left Saturday's start with a groin injury. He is expected to make his next start. Wellington Castillo's off the DL. Andre Rienzo's spot in the White Sox rotation, not solidified. Chris Owings did not start Sunday due to an ankle injury. Does expect to play Tuesday, and Michael Saunders could return Thursday. And here we go. Newt Joseph from Yazoo City, Missouri, says, Lem, Dutch, and Danny. That's a weird trio of Shield characters there, Newt. But I appreciate. I like the.
I'm reference. Sorry, I never know any of these references, and you get them all. So.
You're not very hip, Herc.
I am not.
To blame it.
That's what happens when you turn 30. You lose all your hipness. So
when I turned 30, I went to a Boyz II Men concert. I don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, you did. See, you lost all your hipness.
All right, I need to add a bat as a DH. Give me some order of priority: Pagan, Crone, Duda, Butler, Calhoun, Eaton.
Does he give a format points head-to-head? Okay. That changes things, Adam. It does.
Yeah, it's points.
Because then I think I go, man. I mean, Pagan's about to go on the DL, but he would be
he's
my
on
number
the DL.
One. Okay.
Yeah.
So he, you know, if you can't afford to have a DL guy, he's not number one. If you can, he's number one. Then Butler, Eaton, Calhoun, Duda, Crone.
Yeah, I'm fine with that order. My top three were Butler, Eaton, and Calhoun, so.
Okay. Buster Clarkson from Big Beaver, Pennsylvania. I have an open roster spot. Which pitcher should I add? Points league with 5 points for a quality start and 10 points for a win.
Whoa.
Arrieta, Peavy, Odorizzi, Gibson, Tomlin, Gosman, Skaggs.
I don't think Peavy should be on this list.
Yeah, probably not. Arrieta, Peavy, Odorizzi, Gibson, Tomlin, Gosman, Skaggs, and Tomlin shouldn't be on the list either.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
You know, I know right now I have Gosman number one in my rankings, but... There's this uncertainty over his rotation spot is kind of making me rethink that. And if that's the case, oh, wow.
It's either. It's,
oh, my
yeah,
God. That was
to me, it's either Arrieta or Gosman.
I'm losing my voice this early in the day. That's not good.
I'm going to go with Arrieta.
You're going with Arrieta?
Yeah. You want to go with Odorizzi, don't
know,
you?
I know my rankings go Gosman, Arrieta, Odorizzi. They're so close. I think I'm going to trust them and go with Gosman there.
Okay. Kevin, who gets the better end of this deal? This is a keeper league. Tanaka, Marlon Byrd, and Ben Revere. Or Anibal Sanchez, Shin-Soo Choo, and Starling Marte. Tanaka, Byrd, Revere, Sanchez, Choo, Marte.
Sanchez, Choo, Marte.
Yeah, that's not really close.
Nope.
Angel from Milwaukee, I dropped Cody Allen for Carlos Martinez in a points league. Approve the move.
No, Cody Allen's been really good in a points league.
You disapprove?
You know, yeah, I mean, I know I'm going to have Allen ranked ahead. I guess I could get the logic if there was already other closers on waivers and you just really wanted to sparp, but I have Allen ranked higher.
And Don in Cincinnati says, hey, Nathan, Sean, and Wania. I don't know how to pronounce that. I think it's Wania. Do you know who that is?
No.
the three remaining members of Boys to Men.
Ah!
12-team points league, fairly standard scoring, except 20 points for a win and negative 10 for a loss.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, it is crazy.
That's so stupid.
It's stupid.
But 7 years into a deep keeper league makes it tough to make any changes. Anyway, I need to start one. Duffy versus the Dodgers and Kershaw. Colin McHugh against Atlanta. Stroman against the White Sox. Or Heaney against Oakland.
Oh, man. Colin McHugh, right? Looks like the best option against all the opposing pitchers. I mean, Stroman's going against Sale. I guess maybe Heaney and Malone's an interesting one, too. But the Oakland A's can't hit the baseball.
Yeah, and the Braves can't.
I think I go McHugh.
Ah. I dropped McHugh in a few leagues this week because...
That's your boy, man.
I don't trust him at all.
Yeah.
I don't either, but at all these, I mean, the only other guy I would go
with
is Heaney.
It's either McHugh or Heaney.
Yeah, exactly. It's
Heaney against Oakland or McHugh against Atlanta.
Yeah.
What's it going to be? A lot of pitchers against Atlanta.
If you're in a position where you're sticking with McHugh and wins specifically are that valuable.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think McHugh has the best chance of winning here.
Marlins are not winning that game. The Marlins are back to being the Marlins, I think. Maybe it's because Yelich is on the DL.
Yeah, I was going to say when they get him back.
But they are just not hitting well. They had a terrible homestand. I hope they pick it up. I'm rooting for you guys.
Just because they put on the Boys to Men concert, that's why he's rooting for him.
Yeah.
He wants another one.
Well, I did go to the Marlins game that day as well, so, you know. All right, we're done here. Thank you all. Herc, Scott.
Yeah.
Adam is literally standing up and stretching now.
And yawning.
That's how
do we not
over this
do we not entertain
is.
You?
It's Are You Not Entertained, but I wouldn't.
No, I know, but I was. I've seen the movie, all right? Come on now.
It was a valiant effort by Herc.
Be hip. Herc's like, I've seen Gladiator. See ya.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Akbayani and Prince of Mukamaka, Maka, 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 Maka.